Well, God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips, the meditation of all of our hearts, will be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen, amen. Well, happy Independence Day week, weekend, whatever you want to say. It's hope you guys had a great time with family and friends, and you know, hopefully you had some time barbecuing and grilling out. My wife and some friends of ours were having some conversations with some other Midwesterners, some Michiganders and whatnot, and they were all in agreement that 4th of July here is not the same as 4th of July in the Midwest. They said, you know, 4th of July in the Midwest, you come out of like all of this hot or this cold weather and it's finally nice. We can wear our shorts and t-shirts and flip-flops and oh, it's so great. We're out grilling and running around the grass and run the sprinklers and all that kind of stuff. And my wife and two other people who are from Michigan said, you know, celebrating 4th of July here is just miserable. It's just a harbinger of like what's to come. It's the start of 105 degrees, but it's only going to get worse, you know. And so they're like, you know, you can't go outside. Like, what? Why are you going to go outside, you know? And so they're like, oh, it's just so miserable here. But I hope you still enjoyed 4th of July, whether you were here or somewhere else that's cooler. And hopefully you enjoyed the freedoms that we have. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the freedoms that we have as Christians, the freedoms that we have to follow our God and what that looks like. And today we're going to talk about, you know, we start off by talking about our world. Our world has all sorts of views of God. You know, our world has all sorts of views of God. When you talk to people, maybe hear people say things on television or Facebook, Twitter, or in your own life, you know, you'll hear people say different things. Some people say all roads lead to heaven. Other people say, you know, you have your truth and I have my truth. You know, they'll say that to us. You know, I, as a pastor, you know, when the weather's nice out, I hear a lot of men specifically say, Pastor, I can worship God as well on the golf course. Or if you're in Texas in the winter, they say, or I can worship God as well in a deer blind as I can in church on Sunday morning. And then I always ask them, so do you? You know, when you're in the deer blind, are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Are you listening to worship? Or are you waiting for a deer to walk by? Pastor, don't ask me that question. When you're golfing, are you actually worshiping or are you golfing? Well, I'm actually golfing, but okay. So, but that it begs the question, why are you here this morning? Why are you here on a beautiful day? Why would you get up and come to church? I know it's air conditioned, so that's one reason you're here. But why come to church on a beautiful day and, you know, and spend your time in here when you could be doing any number of other things? What does it matter? That's the question I want to talk about today. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, statistics have shown over the years of church attendance and things like that, one of the things that they've shown is younger generations struggle with their church attendance. And one of the things that they point to is the question of, did I see my parents' church attendance actually matter? You know, so a lot of young people who've been interviewed over the years will say, you know, I went to church, my parents got me to go to church, we dressed up nice, put on our Sunday best, did all of that, went to Sunday school, I went to Sunday school, my parents went to Sunday school, we went to church together, did all that on Sunday morning, but then Monday through Friday, my dad was cussing like a sailor. My dad was lying, cheating, and stealing in business. He was drinking. You know, there was abuse. There was this. There was that. And what younger people have said is, I didn't see a change. I saw a drastic change from Sunday to Monday, but I didn't see that what they were doing, what my parents were doing on Sunday, actually affected the way they lived Monday through Friday. And so what younger people said is, why put on a front for Sunday? Why not just stay home? If it doesn't actually affect Monday through Friday, then I'm not going to pretend and go to church and dress up. I'm just going to stay home and enjoy a morning sleeping in or going hiking or going bike riding and enjoy the beautiful weather. And so that's the question we're asking today. What is our time with God do? What does it matter in the world we live in? Today, we're going to look at the book of Acts chapter 5. So if you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and open to the book of Acts chapter 5. And we're going to see what happened in the early church after Jesus' resurrection. So this is all like right in the beginning of the early church. This is like, you know, maybe, you know, 100 days, 150 days after Jesus had risen from the dead. This is early church stuff that's going on. And so the book of Acts says this: "Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. More than ever, believers were added to their number, multitudes of both men and women. So they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall upon them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed." I love that reading. Many signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. Isn't that cool? Like, you know, people are being healed. People are coming to Jesus. This isn't like, oh, one person came to Jesus or two or three. This is like multitudes are joining the faith. Multitudes are becoming Christians. Multitudes are leaving the temples of, you know, the Greek gods around Rome. And they're coming to Jesus and people are being healed. I mean, you just imagine they're lining up cots of, you know, of sick people in and around where the apostles are so that they can pray over them, preach over them, and hear the word of God. I mean, there is power, there's energy, there's excitement going on in the, you know, in this church, in the church in those days. I mean, it's kind of like when we were singing these songs a few minutes ago, there was energy, there was excitement, there was passion. We were all singing together and there's great music. And that's what I hear as I read these passages. And so many signs and wonders are being done by the apostles. Everything's exciting. But then you get to verse 13, it says this: "But none of the rest dared to join them." Have you ever thought of going to church as being a daring endeavor? Have you ever thought about yourself like today, right now, you're here in church, you're Evel Knievel. You know, you're like Evel Knievel jumping the Grand Canyon right now. Have you ever thought of that? Like, you're daring right now. Like, you're more daring than the people in the early church. Like, they didn't dare to join the apostles. I'd never thought of that until I read this verse. This is a daring thing that we're doing. We are daring people as we join the apostles here today. Because what does it say? It says, the people held them in high esteem. They respected the apostles. They had a lot of respect for them. We respect you. You guys are great guys. But they didn't dare to join them. They were afraid to join them. Why? Because it's dangerous to follow Jesus. It's dangerous to give your whole life to Jesus. Why? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 16, he says this: "If anyone would come after me," what does he say? "Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Now, there was only one thing a cross meant in those days. Today, it means a you know, piece of artwork. It means a necklace around your neck. It means all sorts of things that are nice. In that day, the cross meant one thing and one thing only. I mean, it meant death. It was like a gas chamber. You know, the only thing a cross meant was someone was tried and killed for a capital crime. And so when Jesus says this, take up your cross and follow me, that's like saying, you know, go to the hangman's noose or go to the whatever. Jesus is talking about death. He's saying, deny ourselves and be willing to die. You see, the people of that day liked Jesus. They liked the apostles. They respected the apostles, held them in high esteem. But following Jesus was a bridge too far. Following Jesus was a little dangerous because they weren't ready to die. They weren't ready to take up their cross and follow him because following Jesus would actually cost something. So the first thing we see from the disciples is that they were faithful. We hear about that again in Acts chapter 5 as it goes on in verse 18. It says this: "So they were out preaching, teaching, healing people, doing all these things." And what happens as our story goes on? It says this: "They arrested the apostles and put them into public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out and said, 'Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life.' And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. So here they are. The apostles are preaching, teaching, healing. Okay, cool. Everything's awesome. You know, we're having a great Billy Graham crusade. It's a lot of fun. A lot of great stuff. Then the police come and arrest you, put you in jail. And then God miraculously intervenes, opens the jail doors, rescues you. And what do the apostles do? You know, do the apostles say, okay, whew, God saved my bacon on that one. I'm going back to fishing. I'm done with this preaching stuff because I didn't realize how dangerous it was. Or I'm going to go back to tent making, or I'm going to go back to farming, or I'm going to go back to whatever it is, you know, I used to do because I didn't realize this whole preaching thing was going to get me in so much trouble. No. The angel of the Lord says, okay, now go. Go back out. And do it again. And what do? The miracle isn't that they were rescued from prison. I mean, that is a miracle, but that's not the miracle in my book. The miracle is they actually went and did what he said and went right back to the same place.